You are listening to the podcast of Lancaster Covenant Church. We seek to worship God, tell others about Jesus Christ, nurture new believers, and grow together in the knowledge and love of our Savior.
That's awesome. Yeah. November 15th, is that right? Okay. Thank you. So pick up a shoebox, and if we need more, can we just use shoeboxes, regular ones?
Yes. Yep. Or buy one of those boxes like you've seen the kids have.
Right, okay.
We have more to fold under the table.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much.
Galen, I think we should have like a quota that we should.
Really? What do you want to what do you want to set it at home?
You know, I think 100 is like simple, but you
100?
Know, if you could go over that.
Okay, there's a challenge. We need 100 shoe boxes. We'll see what happens. How many have we had in the past? Almost 200. Oh, my goodness. We can do it. That's good. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, we have another video to show, Financial Peace. Is that okay? Or Sean, were you coming up first? You come up afterwards? Okay. Thank you.
What would happen if the people of God started handling money God's ways? You work too hard to get to the end of your life and have nothing to show for it.
This is my family's legacy that I'm talking about here. I've got to have a plan and be focused.
That knowledge that you pass down to your kids, that is how you change a family tree.
You change your life when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And you have that moment where you say, I've had it. I am not going to live like this anymore.
So yeah, we're only a week away, so exciting times next Sunday night at 7 o'clock. And we actually have 31 members already, so that's glory to God.
That's awesome.
So that's awesome. But bring friends if you don't know what it's about, come the first week for free, just come and see what it's about. I think we have one extra membership yet, so and they can be here. I think I got 10 that I'll hand out after church. And the other 7 are gonna be here hopefully on Monday. But they only take like a week to get, so if you want to sign up still, there's definitely time. If you've been through the course before, if you want them, you can just come for free. But if you want the new book in the workbook, it's $49. And if you're a new member, it's $99. And just write the check out to LCC, please. And just looking at that shoebox thing, just think how many shoeboxes you could actually buy if none of us had debt. Just think how we could bless the world with that. So I think it's a great timing's perfect. So thank you guys.
Thank you, Sean. Are there any other announcements that we're missing this morning? Christy.
Annie has the sign up sheet for coffee opportunities just in the foyer if you want to take a peek. There are a few days.
Okay, thank you. So Andy has a sign up sheet in the foyer for coffee hour. So if you'd like to help out with that, that would be wonderful. Sign up. Thank you. Anything else this morning? Julie. Okay, so after the quarterly meeting, we're having a planned potluck. We love those. We love potlucks. Okay. It is. Okay, sign up sheet's going around. Okay. If anyone wants to drive all the way down to south of Thief River today, we have a Poplar Ridge concert at St. Pauli Lutheran at 4 o'clock if you want to come. Grand Forks next Sunday, so busy time, but a good time. God has given us a lot to do. Okay, scripture and prayer then, please. Thank you, Denise.
Okay, scripture today is Luke 10, 25 through 28. Let me find it. One day an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus replied, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? And that was Luke 10, 25 through 28. All right, God, we just, oh, God, you're just so good, and we just thank you so much that we have opportunities like this to come together and pray and to worship you. And God, we just know you're in charge of everything, and we know that you have a plan for everything. And right now, Lord, we just pray for the Christians in China, God. We just pray, Lord, that you just protect them. We pray for these laws. We pray that somehow these laws would just get broken and that the Christians can just live freely there, God. We just pray, God, that you just really protect the people over there who want to do your will, God. We also pray for Faye. We just thankful, God, that she's here today, and we just pray, God, that you continue to heal her knee, that you just make it stronger every day, and that she'll be able to just get back to her regular routines, God. We just thank you so much for her faithfulness to you. We pray, God, for Hope's grandkids and this concert that she wants to take them to. God, we just pray that you work in the hearts of the parents there, God. We pray, Lord, that you just soften their hearts to this concert. We pray that she'll be able to take them, the kids there, and that the kids will come back and just really witness to the parents, God. We just pray, Lord, that you just work in that situation. We also pray for Curtis Nygaard. We pray for his appointment tomorrow. We pray, God, that the procedure will go well and that he'll heal fast and that it'll just take care of the heart issue, and Lord, that he'll be able to get off of the medication that he's on and that he'll just be able to feel better. We pray for Michaela's, Michaela's mom. We pray, God, that you just speak to her and work in her heart as well. And also, Lord, just for her friend who's having a hard time, God, we just pray that you just make yourself known to this particular friend and that you just surround her with love and surround her with people. We just thank you for Michaela's faithfulness. We pray, God, that you just continue to work in her life as well. We pray, God, for all the leaders of our nation, for our troops that are protecting us, for just our local officers and firemen, and we just pray, God, that you just really protect the hearts and the minds of these people, God. We just pray that you just really work in their lives and bless their families and bless our nation, God. We pray for Chris Turner, God, and this addiction he has, Lord. We know that you can work miracles, and God, we just ask for a miracle in this case, Lord. We just pray that you just break the chain of this addiction. We pray, God, that you just bind Satan from his life and that you just really work in his heart, God. We thank you, God, for the weather. We know that you have a plan for this. We just pray, God, that the farmers could get their crops off the field, and that in doing that, you'll just keep everyone safe. We just pray, God, that you just work in the hearts of the farmers as well. Give them patience. Help them to just have peace with what's going on. But we do pray, God, that we'll be able to get all the crops off and that you'll keep everybody safe. We pray, God, for the youth, in not just in our area, but in the surrounding areas, God. We're so blessed to have so many young kids and families, but God, we do know that bullying does happen, and we just pray, God, for those being bullied and actually those doing the bullying, God. We just pray, God, that you just soften their hearts, and we pray, God, that you'll give the ones being bullied or the bystanders the confidence to just stand up to the bullies, God. We pray, God, for Tom. We pray, Lord, that you just help him to feel well. We miss seeing him at church. We just pray, God, that you will just help him to get well so he can get back. We also pray for Cliffy, who has appointments and tests tomorrow. He hasn't been feeling well. We pray, God, that the doctors will be able to get to the bottom of what's going on and that he'll be able to get better. We do know that you created our bodies to heal ourselves, and we pray, God, that in that situation you'll just help the doctors and help Cliffy to feel better. We also pray for those battling cancer, God. We pray for Ross and his in his biopsy that he had. We prayed for Joanna, Joy Beth, and Kristen, and John Berg, God. We pray, God, that you'll just really heal their bodies. We pray that you give them strength to just get up and fight this disease. We pray, Lord, for the doctors in all these cases. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you give them the wisdom that they need. We pray that you give them the strength to fight this, and the doctors the strength to just keep working hard to find the best cure for them, Lord. We also pray for the people traveling today for the Popple Ridge concert, and actually pray for Jesse and Isaac and Frank, who also will be traveling home from the cities today. And God, we just are so thankful that you listen to our prayers, and we also just want to thank you for Gordy, for healing him and for getting him back to almost back to normal, God. We just pray, God, that you just continue to heal him and give him strength every day. We just thank you so much for his love for the community and for this church and for all the people that he comes in contact with. We also are thankful that Cora's diagnosis with her leg was found, and that she's able to just continue being a little kid and having fun and running and playing. We just thank you so much. We pray, God, that you completely heal that leg. We also pray for Zoe, Lord, as he's off to a new chapter in his life, God. We pray, God, that you really work in his life. We pray, God, that you surround him with people that will help him and encourage him and guide him in the right direction. We pray, God, that you will just keep him safe and help him to make the right choices. We also are thankful, God, for Katie Sullivan, and for Deb Zatterlin. Lord, we just are thankful that there was nobody seriously hurt in that incident. We're just thankful that you protected them, God. We just pray, God, that they just both heal completely and that they don't have any long-term effects from that, Lord. Again, Lord, we just thank you so much for today. We pray, God, that you'll just be with Galen. Continue to work in his life with his healing. We're thankful that some of his tests came back great, and we're just so blessed to have him and Julie. We pray, God, that you just bless them, and we pray today for the message as Galen has prepared it, that it'll just speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to focus so much more on the people around us and not ourselves. Help us to help the healing, or help the hurting. Help us to realize that how blessed we are, and to really focus our efforts on the people around us, whether it's in our community or in a different country, God. And we pray, God, for these shoeboxes. We pray, God, that you just fill that foyer with shoeboxes, God. We just pray that the people, the kids receiving those shoeboxes will just feel the love that goes into all of the effort going behind it, God. We just thank you so much for this day, and we just ask that your Holy Spirit be with us and lead us and guide us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Do you have special music today? No, I don't think so. Just me, no. If I could have the praise team come up and we will sing, and ushers, if you'd come forward for the offering, please. Yeah. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for today, God, and we pray that you'd bless this offering, God. We pray that you'd guide us as we give, Lord, that you would bless each and every one, Lord, not to just we provide, God, from what you have given us, Lord, financially, but that we would give of ourselves, Lord, in the community and to those around us that need to hear about the good news of you, Lord Jesus. And we pray that you'd guide us now, Lord. May you be glorified in this service. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Please sing along with us as we sing.
God is will, what God is meant.
more time with singing White as Snow.
Forgiveness, Lord, and I just pray, Lord, that we can understand what you truly have done for us, Lord, to make us all white as snow, Lord. We just thank you for that grace and that mercy, and I just pray as we go into the sermon to learn more about your love and into communion, Lord, we can just wrap our minds around truly what you've done for us. We just love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please be seated. We are going to go into our time of communion, so if I could have the diaconate come forward for our time of communion, that would be awesome. Bob, did you put in a different disc? Could you finalize that one? You did it already?
Should be okay.
My sermon's like an hour long. Just kidding. That's not okay. I know the Vikings play at noon. But who watches them?
Exactly.
Well, we are going to talk today, continuing on in our series. And my first question to ask you, actually, there's several, because I love questions, is what keeps you from loving God more deeply in your life? It's a personal thing. What keeps you from loving God more deeply? What hinders you from growing in Christ in love for Him? Is it sin in your life? Is it selfishness? Is it pride? Is it a past hurt, maybe? Maybe a past failure? Maybe it's being distracted with too much busyness. I've just listed everything that has kept me from falling more in love with Christ. It's personal. It's personal to me. As you know, Julie's and my daughter got married last week in the pouring rain and the snow. And the service lasted 16 minutes. We had the grandmas in heated rangers, thank you, for those that borrowed us those. For those 16 minutes, I cried for 15. I'm not kidding. I thought walking my daughter down this wooded aisle and turning around and doing the vows and giving a message, I got two lines into my message and I just stood there. And I've thought about that all week as we were at a wedding last night in Fargo. And I was reflecting back on the wedding of my daughter, and I thought, why was I so emotional? I was happy for her. I was happy for us. And then I realized I was being overwhelmed by love. Now, so many times I hear from people say that, well, emotion is not a good thing. And they say you shouldn't have emotion. And I don't know if that's just being in a Scandinavian part of this world that we think we got to be so stoic that we shouldn't. I mean, heavens, we definitely shouldn't rejoice and dance and praise God, raise our hands. Can I tell you, if you look in Scripture, God commands emotion. He commands it. I challenge you to check that out. See what you find for yourself. As I looked at it this week, I thought, God, you know, you are amazing. I think when we get into heaven, we're not going to stand there and just be emotionless. I think we're going to fall flat down on our hands and knees and maybe flat out just praising God and weeping with joy over what he has done for us. Today we're going to talk about having a deeper love for Christ. And you've probably heard the old story about the certain marriage where this guy and this woman were struggling and they didn't really understand why they were struggling so much. And the story begins like this. The wife comes in and she says to her husband, "Why don't you ever tell me you love me?" To which he says, "I told you I loved you when I married you, and if I change my mind, I'll let you know." What if God treated us that way? What if we treated God that way? Well, I can tell you very plainly and clearly that God continually reveals his love for us by the people around us, by creation. And I thought about this guy, and I thought, he doesn't get it. He doesn't even know his wife, and his wife doesn't know him. And really, if you don't know what love is, how can you love? And can you love someone that you don't even know? If you don't know someone, how can you love them? In light of this marriage story, even though that they were married, I say they didn't even know each other. They didn't know. And they definitely didn't know what love was. And today we're going to look at what it means to grow deeper in love with Christ. On Sunday, August 26th, that's when we started our series. So we talked about going deeper in Christ. And so far we've talked about a deeper walk. We've talked about a deeper clean, a deeper desire, a deeper truth, and a deeper hope. And today we're going to talk about a deeper love. When I started off this series, I started with a bunch of questions or statements that led me to even thinking about doing this. And I'd like to give them to you again just to refresh your memory and mine as well. What would you say to a person that came up to you and said, "I'm a Christian, but I have no desire to know God better. And furthermore, it doesn't really matter how I live because grace covers all my sins," right? Isn't that what Scripture says? Also, what would you say to someone who came up to you and said, "If God wants me to know more about him, then he'll tell me. So why do I need to go to church? Why do I need to study the Bible or be in a Bible study? That's for people who teach it. It's not for me. That's for people like you as a pastor." Or what would you say to someone who said, "I was born a Christian," or "I'm an American, and we're a Christian nation. I go to church. I'm a member. So I'm good to go, right?" As I said back in August, those are all things that have been said to me. And when I hear things like this, I say there's a false sense of security in our world and in many churches. Do I even dare say ours? So I want to give you some truth about God's word. If you're a child of God, you've been born again. You've been given a new heart. And you are not to remain an infant in Christ. Your love should grow deeper. We are told in Scripture that we are to mature and to grow and to become as God wants us to be. And that's what this series is all about. And that's why I want to spend just a little time today speaking about the love of God more deeply than you did before. I pray that we will go there and that we will understand. And I pray that we will become more passionate about this love that he's called us to live. Well, as I said earlier, you can't know someone that, or you can't love someone that you don't know. So my first question to you is this, do you really know God? Do you really know God? That's where love begins, and to make it clear, we can't know God and we can't love him unless he reveals himself to us. So again, let me ask you this morning, do you really know God? Or is he someone that you've just learned about? Maybe you've been taught about him, but you've never really surrendered your life to him or come to know him, as Scripture says. And if that's true of you or any of us, how can we love someone that we don't even know? So let's say that you do know God, and let's say that you do love him. And if that's the case, then how do you grow deeper in love with him? That's my hope today and for every day, is how does your love for Jesus Christ grow to maturity? For me, I fall more in love with Christ the more I realize what I'm being saved from. When I think about my sin, when I realize my struggle with doubts, my struggle with fear, my failures, we've all been there. I know mine. When I think about all of that and I think of God's love for me, that he still loves me, I can't help but fall more in love with him. His grace and his mercy is a gift that we don't deserve. And we don't earn it. And the more we realize that, the more in love that we should grow with him. Now, the Pharisees in Jesus' day didn't get this, did they? They were pumped up on their knowledge and their position in the world. With all their knowledge, they were basically the most religious people on the planet. By world standards, they just didn't know God. Therefore, they didn't know his love. They knew a lot about God, but they didn't know him. So how could they love him? And how do we know this? Because of what Jesus said in John 5:42, where he basically says to the Jewish leaders, he said, "You can't love God without loving me. It's impossible. I have come in my Father's name, and yet you don't accept me. And if you don't accept me, you can't know my Father, and you can't know his love." If you remember a couple weeks ago, about a passage that we read in John 8, where the Jews were telling Jesus how much they belonged to God because they were Abraham's children. They said, "We're not only Abraham's children, we're God's children. God is our Father." But Jesus knew their heart, and he responds quite harshly. And he says, "Abraham's not your father. God is not your father. Your father's the devil." These are the words of our Savior. They didn't really know Jesus. They didn't know God, even though they knew a lot about him. We also read in the Gospel of Matthew that after Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together and they started to talk about Jesus, and they said, we're told that one of them, an expert in the law, tested Jesus with this question, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" To which Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind," and if you look in the other Gospels, also says with all your strength. Jesus taught about loving him in a very profound way when he says this in Matthew 10:37. He says, "Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." So let's get personal for a minute. Can you wrap your mind around that? Can you personally grab a hold of that statement by Jesus? Can you imagine a love greater than the love that you have for your kids? That's where I go. I remember what it was like holding my little newborns. And I immediately would have died for them. I know I would have. And yet Jesus says, I want you to love me more than that. Jesus says, if you don't love me more than your parents or your kids, you're just not worthy of me. I remember reading this and really struggling with this passage for many years. But I say the more that you know of Christ, the more you can understand how this is even possible because of all that he provides and the way that he has made for us. This is an intense kind of love. I know how much I love and treasure my kids and my grandkids. And my love for Jesus must be, it's not a should be, but it must be greater than that. Think about that for your own life. In our scripture text for the day, that's the kind of love that we will see in the life of a young woman who, according to the religious leaders, Jesus should not have welcomed her. He should not have loved her. He should not have even touched her or spoke to her or allowed her in his presence. And in the eyes of the religious leaders, Jesus shouldn't even acknowledge that she existed. And that passage is from Luke 7. At the wedding last night in Fargo, I was asked by a gentleman, he said, what are you preaching on tomorrow? I said, Luke 7, 36 through 50. And he said, I'm going to write that down. And he was searching for a pen, and he got one. And he said, I'm going to go home and read that. He said, did you preach on divorce last week? I said, no. He goes to a church that preaches from electionary, so that was their theme, and everybody preached on divorce last week. I said, no. I said, I didn't even preach last week. I was given a break. So I'm curious what God is going to do with that. I have no idea why he even asked me. I think, God, you're up to something. Once again, you're up to something. When I look at this passage and I think about the love of God, it blows me away. Because some got it and some didn't. And here's the story. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and he reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair. She kissed them and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. And Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Simon should have known better, but he said, tell me, teacher. And Jesus says, two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now, which of them, Simon, would love him more? And Simon replies to Jesus. He says, well, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. You've answered correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came to your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, Simon, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. Simon, you didn't put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, Simon, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests there began to say to them among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. As I've read that passage, Scripture doesn't tell us why Simon invited Jesus over. My thought was maybe he was just curious about this guy. Maybe he had called him over to try to trap him in something, trick him into answering a question in the wrong way. I don't know that. Basically, we aren't told what Simon's motive was, but we do know that Simon was going to learn something. Something that maybe Simon didn't want to hear. Simon was going to hear that he didn't know God, and he didn't love God. Jesus spoke to Simon about God's amazing love and forgiveness as well as hold Simon accountable for his non-actions. Simon had him there for a reason. What was that reason? When we serve God, when we worship Him, when we come here, why do we come? I pray it's because we want to worship. We want to be together as family. So as I close for today, I want to ask you a few questions. Have you ever felt like you sinned too much? Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt like you sinned too much that you couldn't possibly be forgiven? Have you ever been so moved with emotions over what Jesus is saving you from? Have you ever been in that place? Have you ever wept over the incredible, indescribable, reckless love of God? My last question to you is, what causes you to grow deeper in love with Jesus? That's personal. It is not the same for me as it is for you. There are things that when God speaks to us, He speaks to us in such a personal way that the person right next to you maybe doesn't even get it. Maybe they think, what's wrong with that guy? Why is he so emotional? What is wrong with him? When we are called to love Christ, we are called to grow deeper in love with Him. And I believe that God draws us to Himself in that way, that is His desire, that we grow to maturity in Him. I think by the time we stand in His presence, our emotions are going to be so crazy, out of this world. I think of the song where it says, what will I do when I stand in His presence? I can only imagine, right? Will I fall down? Will I even try to say anything and I won't be able to speak even? Will I stand there like at my daughter's wedding and cry for 15 minutes? Because I'm so overwhelmed with the love of God and what He has given to me. I'd like you to stand, and we're going to close our song by singing a song that I continue to want us to learn, and I know many of you know it already. It's kind of a different title for those of you that haven't heard of it, A Reckless Love. But that's what the world looks at us. He looks at how the world may look at us and think they're weird people, they're strange. It's on the lower desk, on the bottom of the desktop. Ignore the slides, there'll be their own ones. The world might look at us and think, this is crazy, that's a crazy kind of love. That is reckless, but it is not. So please sing out with us as we play this.
singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me.
Pray that you'd guide us, that you help us to know the love better, God, that you've given and that you provide every day. Pray that you'd help us to love our neighbors as you call us to, Lord. To live lives, God, of forgiveness and of mercy and of grace. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Lancaster Covenant Church podcast. For more information on gathering times and the Lancaster Covenant Church community, please visit our website at lancastercovenant.com.